Morning, brothers and sisters. It's a bit chilly outside, but I hope our hearts are warm to the Lord this morning as we share His Word together. I'm going to go to the Old Testament today in the book of Judges, chapter 5. Book of Judges, chapter 5. And you see it's a sort of a longish chapter, but we'll just read some of it. It's a song by one of the judges, one of the woman. She was the only woman judge in the time of the history of Israel. And this is a song which she and Barak sang together after they won a battle against a local king of Canaan. So I think I will read from chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, sang on that day, saying, "When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anna, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along by the byways. Village life ceased its seat in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods, then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord." And then let's go on to verse 23. "Curse Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." And then finally we read the last verse of that chapter. "Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength." I don't know if you are familiar with the history of Israel in the time of the judges. I take it most of you would have read that book and knew something about it. It was a time when everybody was doing whatever they liked. The Bible says there was no king ruling in Israel. They just did whatever they liked. And I think this morning I would like to use this song to think about the way we our relationship with the Lord and how we are and we ought to serve the Lord. You know, there are times in our lives when we have to stand back and take stock of our lives. I mean, most of you are young and you say, "Well, it's not for me, it may be for YC." Just to stand back and look back in our lives and see how things were. But I think every one of us would have to come at one time or the other just to sort of stand back a little bit and look at our lives so far. And many of you would look back now probably and see, "Well, I was in elementary and then I was in middle school and then I was in university." Every stage was so different, right? And it's time to somehow for us to just pause for a while and think, what have we been making of our lives? What are we going to do about our lives in the future based on what we have experienced in the past? You know, there are stages where in our lives where we where it forms sort of compartments, and we think, well, now we've finished school, now we're getting into the workplace, it's another stage, and then we probably getting married, another stage, and then so on and so forth. So I think in our spiritual relationships, we sometimes need to do the same thing, you know. We have been saved for so long, for so many years, maybe it's time for us just to take stock of us, the state of our spiritual lives, take stock of how much we have grown, how mature we are in the Lord, how our relationship with the Lord is so far, and has it improved, and how we are sort of responding to his call for service, our testimony for him. All these things, we need time sometimes to just pause for a while and think, what have I been making about our spiritual lives? I think this is very important for us and very necessary for us as well, in order that we can sort of steer a course which is faithful to him. You know, sometimes if we just keep on going every day, and we have pressure upon us, we just don't stop, look, and we just go, and then we are off the right path and we do not know. So I think it is important for all of us just to step aside and think about our spiritual lives and see where we are going. You know, at the time when you do this, I think we need to really set aside every excuses, you know, all hesitation aside, and truly examine our hearts and say, well, how am I doing spiritually? I think you all realize that it is fairly easy for us to make commitments to the Lord. And yet, a lot of them have never been turned into action. I mean, this is human nature. You think about the times when, probably from very young, you make New Year resolutions. Every year, at the end of the year, you turn back and look at yourself. Well, yeah, I made the resolutions, but it never turned into action. So in our spiritual life, I think we very often when we first believe and accepted the Lord as our Savior, we commit ourselves to him, that we will love him, we will do all kinds of things. And yet, when you think about it, most of these never translated into action. And by a certain stage in our Christian life, you know, we tend to rationalize things. We tend to sort of make excuses for ourselves. Well, we committed before the Lord this and this and this, but now these things have come in, so we tend to make excuses. We become sort of indifferent in a way to the Lord, and our worship, our devotions, our prayers, our service to the Lord somehow becomes a routine, becomes part of a thing that just go on every day, you know, every Sunday, we still go to meetings, we still go to fellowships, and then we go home and it is as if nothing has happened, and then in another 7 days we do the same thing again. It is very easy for us to run into that sort of routine, and we don't have that real relationship with our God anymore. We have no more any appetite for him, no more any urgency to want to serve him or to learn more about him. I think we honestly need to ask ourselves this question: is this really the situation I'm in at the moment? And I think this morning I would just want to ask all of us to really answer this question honestly in their hearts. Is this the situation I'm already in? Stand back, pause, look back for a moment. Now, Judges 5 is a song of praise by two servants of the Lord, by Deborah, who was the judge, and also by Barak, who was a local sort of ruler. If you read chapter 4, you will find that perhaps it needs. Let's go back and read 3 verses from chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4 and to verse 6, or to verse 7. Chapter 4, there it says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lipidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." So she was exercising her position as a leader and as a judge of the nations. "Then she went, sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinon from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, 'Has not the Lord of God Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand.'" Now this was a time when the Israelites have been oppressed by this local king Jabin for 20 years, and they were really in a desperate position. And the picture in there, and then the after the victory of the battle, the song which Deborah and Barak sang, it sort of give us a picture of how the life of an Israelite, of the Israel nation, of the Israel people were like at that time. It was really bad. We don't need to go into the history, but let's just look at verse 6 there. "In the days of Shamgar," that was the time that the previous judge was Anna, "and in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted." You know, it was so bad that the highways where people would travel, they were deserted. And the travelers walk along the byways. You know, instead of having openly and feel safe walking on the byways, on the highways, they have to sneak around in the back alleys because they were afraid of attacks or whatever. It was not safe. And then in verse 7, you see the same thing, same sort of picture there. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel. What is village life? Village life, I mean, what we see is something maybe like country life today. It's free and open, right? We lock our front doors today, but in the countryside, in the villages, they never lock the door because it's an open and free and safe environment, not like the urban cities and so on where they are. The conditions are different. But here, you see, it was so bad that the village life ceased. There's no longer any village life. They don't feel safe anymore. And then verse 8, what about the city? "There was woe in the gates." That is described as a city, right? The city in those days always have gates. And the gates there, there was woe in the gates. In other words, there was no safety there. There were trouble in the city as well. City life is no better than the village lives. And the Israelites had no... It also says that village... And also in verse 8, it says that these people, they had nothing to defend themselves. Not a shield or spear was among 40,000 in Israel. That paints the picture at a time of Deborah. It's really a kind of unstable society, violence maybe. Nobody feels safe anymore. What was the reason for that? Verse 8 tells us the reason. They chose new gods. It was because these people gave up their true God, Jehovah, and went for these Baal and other idols. Because they chose new gods, therefore their situation deteriorated. They left God, and God was no longer with them, and everybody was doing what they liked, and this was the situation. They chose new gods. The people have turned away from the true God to the idols of Canaan. And that is really a sad thing. As a result, what happened? The power of God has gone away from them. Now verse 2, I think, sets out clearly the two main themes that run along this whole song. And I think as a background, we need to understand it a little bit. Verse 2 says, when the leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. It tells us of two things, you know, that the leaders, the Lord will bless them when the leaders lead willingly. When the leaders lead in Israel, when they are exercising, and the leaders are exercising their duties, when they were doing their part, the leaders were, if they were willingly leading the people there, then there can be victory in their spiritual warfare. Because we need to know that it is always the greatness of God that produces victory, not Deborah, nor Barak, nor indeed anyone else. Whenever there's a victory, the leaders must be fulfilling their duties. They must be willing to lead. And somehow, as I said, that God, really it was God who worked, who produces the result. But we thank the Lord that God does not work in a vacuum. God likes to use men and women to help him. God likes to use people who respond to him willingly and unhesitatingly. So when the leaders are willing to lead, you have the people underneath the leaders also willingly offer themselves. So these two principles run through this song, and it is really a lesson for us. You have in a society, in a group, or whatever term you use, when those who are responsible to lead are fulfilling their duty, and then you have the people willing to sort of to take their part, then God will work up in their midst. God needs a people who will rise up to his challenges, and it is in such men and women that God delights to use. So this song, although it's very long, but I would like to bring out one or two things about this song. Now, the two issues which I think is relevant to us this morning. The first one is the Christian's response to God's calling to serve. How is our response to God when he calls us to serve? And also, how Christians, what kind of motivations Christians have in order to serve? Two things which are important, and we can see something in this song, right? First of all, the Christian's response to God's call for serving, what kind of response, and then the motivation that created that response in a Christian. Now, first of all, the response to God's call to service. If you look at the response of Barak and Deborah, as well as a people, they are very spontaneous and they are very enthusiastic. And we can gather this from verse 9 there. Because when Deborah saying, my heart is with the rulers of Israel who offer themselves willingly to the people, again, see, willingly, then you see, bless the Lord. The Lord blessed him. In verse 1, it also says, bless the Lord. So we see that, you know, when there's a response of to God's calling, and that response is spontaneous, then you see God's blessing starting to come from them. You see, it is a situation where these people's hearts are identified with God himself. You have to consider the background to this. We just read that there were 40,000 people without in Israel without weapon. just consider a situation to raise 40,000 soldiers willingly to fight an enemy with 900 chariots of iron, and an enemy who has oppressed the nation of Israel for 20 years. To try to get to get these people to answer that call is not as simple as it is, isn't it? There was there here we don't see any in the song, we don't see any sort of twisting of fingers by Deborah or Barak. There's no pleading, there's no offering of any benefit to these people, and the result of the battle was pretty uncertain. So unless their hearts were truly turned to God, this could not have happened. Think about it. 40 people, no weapons, nothing, not used to war, not trained to war. The other side you have 900 chariots of iron and a strong army, and a king and a general who's probably oppressed these people for as long as they live. What are the odds? And when Deborah and Barak called these people to battle, rallied them around, they responded to this call without any reserve. The song several times used this word willingly. Consider the situation in the world today. I mean, the Americans are fighting a war. They need lots of soldiers. They try to draft people in the army. They even came to Canada the other day, I saw in the papers, to try to draft people into the Americans living in this country into the army. And they had TV ads we see in the television channels. They had all kinds of publicity trying to draw people, and yet they have up to now not got not reached their target number. It's so difficult because they see the odds. People do not want to, they don't identify with the leaders. But here you have a call from God, because chapter 4 we just read that it was the Lord God, verse 6, the Lord God of Israel commanded, and people just got together and responded to that call. I mean, when we compare this to what the situation is in most places today, it's so difficult to get people to come in and do something. I think in our sphere of Christian service, I think some of you might have already experienced a difficulty in trying to get other brothers and sisters to come and serve and help, isn't it? And a very natural response, in my experience, is that when we ask somebody to serve the Lord, they look you in the eye very often and say, well, this is not for me, I can't do it. Because they think that this might involve effort, involve time, and other things, so it is just to just say, we're not interested, we can't do it, we're too busy. All kinds of excuses. And then especially if you ask them to do something, the results of which are uncertain, it is even more difficult to convince them. The response to serve is sometimes so weak in brothers and sisters that we need to really examine ourselves. And when we look at what the response of the people in Deborah's time, considering the background of the society those days, it is really something that stimulates our thoughts, isn't it? Why is it that we ask, our response to serve God is so weak and so hesitating? I think if you ask ourselves, each and every one of us, including myself, have responded and acted in this way in the past. So maybe today you will think back, you know, has anyone really asked me to serve the Lord in some way? recently, and I have just refused without outright, without thinking, without praying, just because you are unwilling to spend your time and effort that you think you have something better to do. See, this is something very personal. It is not in the response. It's not that. It is something very personal thing. You know, the leaders didn't send back when Deborah called Barak, right? And when Deborah saw the need, the call from God, the leaders just didn't say back, "Okay, guys, you go and fight, and we'll plan in the office here, in the headquarters here." No, they went themselves. It was Deborah and Barak who was leading. You see, sometimes we fall into that unfortunate situation. You know, we are responsible for serving the Lord in a certain way, and then we just go out and say, "Look here, A, B, and C, brother, this and brother that. You go and do this, and you go do that." We just sit back and say, "We will plan everything. You go and do it." No, Deborah and Barak themselves led in the war. We just read in chapter 4, they were going to lead. And then on the other side, when those brothers and sisters who are asked to serve the Lord, we come back and say, "All right, we'll pray for you, you go and do it." You see, that kind of attitude is very common today in the church when we come to serving the Lord. You ask someone to help you, you say, "Yeah, we will help you, we'll pray for you," and you just go and do it. On the other side of it, and say those who are responsible, we said, "Could you go and do it, and we will just plan everything. We just sit back and then be the backroom boys." See, that is a very, very dangerous situation for us when we think about serving the Lord. This is a lesson, I think, which is very important that we should learn when we serve. We are to work together, to serve together, forsaking our own biases, our ideas, our subjective views, but we should submit to the leading of the Lord Himself. Here you see in this picture here that Deborah and Barak was leading. These people were responding to the call willingly, and there you see the Lord bless them. There you see that they were doing something impossible, because ultimately, as I said, all the great things that come to pass are the work of God. You see, in chapter 4 just now we read, God was going to say, "You go and deploy these 10,000 soldiers in Mount Tabor, and then I, God, will deploy Sisera and let them go into a trap, and then you will win them, even though you were in many aspects inferior to them." You see, if you go into this a little bit more, we will see why these 40,000 people without weapons could win a battle against a very experienced army. You see, the enemy was using chariots pulled by horses, and it was in the valley where Mount Tabor, and down there was a valley, and it was around that time, I was told, it was about monsoon time, when there was very often sudden pour of rain. And at the battle, rain came, and all the valley, the mud there got really sticky, right? And when the horses ran into there, they couldn't run anymore. And so these people were able to sort of slaughter them and defeat and won the battle. See, God was doing it behind, but people had to respond. Right? They have to willingly, God's call is there, and they will respond. And they will have to leave the whole thing to the Lord. Because if it is the work of, if it is the will of the Lord, then all they need is to do their part, and God will do the rest. So I think, you know, let us be more positive and more responsible the next time we are asked to serve in whatever way, no matter how insignificant it is. We will do it willingly, like these people. The people will willingly offer themselves. Let us do that. Let us think, you know, next time when we are asked to serve the Lord in some way. Don't just outright and say, no, this is not for me. Think about it. Pray. And accept what has been asked, sort of enthusiastically, willingly. You know, because you have to realize at the back of your mind that it is not you who are capable of serving Him, but it is the Lord who leads you to accomplish the task assigned to you. So do it with some zeal, you know, with complete willingness and not grudgingly, or even worse, just refuse to do it. So that is the response Christians need to have when the Lord calls you to serve Him. Willingly, unhesitatingly, freely. Just do your part, knowing that God will be on your side, and it is God who accomplish these things. Then secondly, there's a motivation to serve God. What motivated these people to serve Him? You know, our God loves a willing heart. God really loves willingness in His children. I mean, you look into the history of the Israelite people. You remember when Moses came down from the mountain and said God told him to build a tabernacle, and he told the people, and he asked for offerings, and all the offerings came in, gold, silver, everything. It was even more than it is necessary to build the tabernacle. And then later on in Solomon's time, when Solomon prepared to build the temple, and he was telling the people that he was going to build, and he asked for offerings, the offerings really came in most abundantly, more than he needs, more than he needed. Not only were they offering the gold, their silver, and whatever, the workmen, the artisans, they all offered to help. It was in that way that the temple was built. Right, when there was a call out by Solomon, these people came out and said, I can do this, or maybe I'm a carpenter, I can do all the carpentry work, I can do all this and that. All these workmen, these artisans, came out and offered themselves to work. And so there was more than what was required. See the willing heart of these people. There was a motivation because they loved the Lord. They want to see the temple built. They want to obey the Lord. And so they just came on. There's a call, they just came voluntarily. And then you can see really the best example in this willingness. When our Lord came to this earth, He knew that He was going to die on the cross. Right? He knew the oppression, the rejection, the suffering that He was going to go through. And what happened? Did the Lord bargain with the Heavenly Father and say, look here, can I not suffer that much, or can I do this or do that? No, He willingly accepted what He was to do from the Father. And He said Himself, He said, nobody can force me to do, to go to the cross, except that I myself volunteer to go to the cross. He wanted to obey, and He wanted to please the Father in heaven. See, this is where is the motivation for us today? How can we be willing? Our natural flesh, you know, is always unwilling. You know, if I'm invited to go and play, to eat, whatever, I'm willing. You know, if someone invited me to lunch today, I say, yeah. But if somebody say, why don't you not go to lunch and do this? Then I hesitate. Yeah, that willingness. But if we love the Lord enough in our service, then this there is that motivation. When the call comes to serve Him in any way, we quite naturally would respond to that call. It is the motivation that of love towards God, our attitude towards God. And I think it is the same motivation that made these people to serve God. They knew they had to risk a lot. And I think there are two reasons here which are essential if we are to serve Him, willing to serve Him, to serve the Lord. It is two things: our attitude to God and also our attitude towards serving. See, sometimes we don't want to serve the Lord, we are unwilling to serve the Lord, is due to our attitude to God. What is our attitude to God? And then the second thing is our attitude towards serving the Lord at all. And these two things are really, we should be very clear in our minds that what our attitude towards the Lord is affects our willingness to serve Him. Deborah began the song by stating that the people were willing. And she sang through the whole song, and then finally she revealed why the people were willing. It's completely the attitude to God. You see, if you go to the last verse which we read there, it said, thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love Him be like the sun. You see, these people who are willing to serve are the people who really love God. Alright, after Deborah sang the song and he was going to finish, he said, let the people love the Lord. Obviously, these are the people who really love the Lord, that when the call to come to defeat against a mighty army, which they knew on their own strength they cannot defeat, they still went on and do it. It's their attitude for the Lord, their love for the Lord. See, these are people who are faithful to God, who love God, who are the righteous ones of the nation. Remember, in those days, the society was full of people who were worshipping idols, going their own way, but there remain a portion who really love the Lord. These are the people who made up that army that went to the battle to defeat the enemy. And therefore we need to see that our attitude towards God has everything to do with our willingness to serve God. When God really possessed our hearts, I think we will begin to serve Him freely, you know, voluntarily and without any grumbling or reserve or without counting the cost. Unless we love the Lord, we will almost certain that we will hesitate whenever we are asked to serve the Lord. But when we really loved Him, our attitude to Him is so right before Him, then that love to God will stimulate our willingness to serve Him. Here, Deborah wound up the song by saying, because these people love the Lord. These are the people who love Him. And they will be like the sun. In God's eyes, these people are really precious. And so we can put this problem to us today. You know, it's our question of service is not the amount, the quantity of service that matters. It is really the quality of service and the quality of our relationship with God that matters. You know, it is not that we run around doing a lot for God. That's not the point. The point is, what is the quality of our relationship with the Lord Jesus today. If our relationship with God is right and good and we love the Lord, then it is just a natural thing to serve Him, to do things for Him. I mean, in our daily life, we realize the same thing. If my good friend asked me to do something, I probably go out of my way to help him. But if somebody I don't like asked me to do it, just a little bit, little something, I can make all kinds of excuses. So it is really the attitude we have towards God that governs our desire to serve Him. You know, when this shows up in Peter's case, you know, some time ago I shared with you on several Sundays about the life of Peter. And you know, when the Lord appeared to the disciples again in the Sea of Tiberias after His resurrection, he had a conversation with Peter. And he asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And what did Peter say? Peter said, "Of course, Lord, you know I do." And then Jesus made a further question, make a commandment, and said, "All right, if then so, you feed my lambs." Then, exactly like the character of Peter, he just looked at somebody else and say, "But Lord, what about this man?" He was pointing at John, you know. He wants to know what's going to happen to John. But the Lord just said, "You feed my lamb if you love me." He just almost immediately turned around, looked at this man, and asked the Lord, "What about this man?" And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "What is it to you? You just follow me." That's the answer the Lord gave to Jesus. You know, "You just follow me. What is it to you? What happened to somebody else is none of your business. You just follow me. If you love me, you just do what I want you to do." See, our love for the Lord will produce a service befitting God. But if we do not love Him enough, I think everything, not only our service, everything will get out of shape. So it is important for us to examine ourselves today. What is our attitude to God? What is our relationship with Him? Do we love Him enough that we are willing to do anything for Him? Do we love Him enough to commit ourselves to Him so that as we serve Him, we know that if our heart is right, our service will be right too, because God will be on our side. So it is the attitude towards God that really matters. But then the second thing is that we need to have a correct attitude about our service as well. You see, this comes out very starkly in verse 23 of that song. You remember, we haven't read that large portion here from verse 13 to verse 22, because it listed all the tribes, different tribes of the Israel nation, what they were going to do, and so on and so forth. And then came verse 23. It says, "Curse Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. This is not Deborah or Barak saying, right? It's the God saying, "Curse the inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." Among all these people in Israel, all the different tribes and groups, there is probably a place called Meroz. We don't know where it is in Canaan, right? But there's these people who are Israelites. They did not want to come to help the Lord. There was a call out, and all the other tribes and groups responded, except these people in Meroz. They did not want to come up. Why? We do not know. Where is this place? We don't know. But they chose not to participate in a battle that could have stopped the army. That's the important. It was a call by God, and these people just refused to. And as a result, the place was cursed. Verse 23, the Lord himself, the angel of the Lord said, cursed Meribs, because they did not come around and participate and accept that call from God. You see, it is sometimes our attitude in service that brings us into trouble. It's not because of the fact that God did not want us to serve him. It's not because that God cannot use us. It's not none of that. It's just our unwillingness to serve him, because they did not want to come to the help of the Lord. You see, it's not a matter of helping here. It's not a matter of helping Deborah. It's not a matter of having Barak. It's not even a matter of helping themselves. It is a matter of helping the Lord, because the call came out from God. You do this, and then I'll do that, and the enemy will defeat it. God called them to serve in some way. They may be just a small number of people, maybe a very small village or town, 100 people or so. Even if they did not participate, it will not matter as to the final result. But they were asked, and their attitude towards God is, we do not want to help who? Deborah? Barak? No. We do not want to help the Lord. Is it to come to the help of the Lord? Lord, God wanted them to help. You see, when God calls us today to serve him some way, yes, we know that we are not indispensable. No one is indispensable. But God delights in using us. And God has come to ask us to help him in serving him. So your attitude towards service is relevant here. You are here, you must realize that you are not serving anyone else, you're not serving other people in a way, even though the effect was there. You are ultimately serving the Lord. That is why Paul, throughout his letters to the various churches, emphasizes that, you know, you must be realized as Christians that whatever you do, you are doing it for the Lord. And that is should be our attitude towards serving him. In volunteering these people, they were not volunteering for an army, they're not volunteering for Deborah, they're not volunteering for Barak, but they were volunteering to serve the Lord. So in our service, we need to have this attitude absolutely right. We are not doing it for anyone or even for ourselves. We are serving the Lord. You know, sometimes in service we may feel frustrated, we may feel bitter, and sometimes, you know, complacency might settle in and we need to stop and remind ourselves that we are not doing it for ourselves. We are not doing it for anybody else. We are doing it for the Lord. We need to see our service as an act of love for him. We need to see the opportunities of service as a way we can show our love towards him. And if we take this view about service, then we will be like these people, willingly. Today, very often, we're not willing, you know. But if our attitude towards service is right, then we see that we're doing it for God, for the love of God, our attitude to God is right, then we will, like these people, serve him willingly. You know, not only a voluntary spirit produces a joyful heart. It always has that result. If you are willing, you do something, you see the result, it creates joy in you. Deborah and these people were singing. Why? Because they knew the joy of giving service to him. I mentioned earlier on about these free will offerings by the Israelites of old in the tabernacle, in building of tabernacle, in the building of the temple, and so on. And there's one verse in the Bible which sum up the joy that is the result of these. And I think we can turn to First Chronicles chapter 29 and see what was the result of this willingness to serve and to give. Now let's turn quickly to First Chronicles chapter 29. And it is verse 9. Chapter 29, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced. This is a joyful response to when David announced he has prepared material and things for the building of the temple. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because of a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. You see, there was this willingness to serve him because they loved the Lord, because their attitude towards the Lord was right, and therefore their attitude towards service automatically is right. And the result of that, the people rejoiced. Why? For they had offered willingly. Again, you see this emphasis on the willingness. And because it was a loyal heart. Loyal, in other words, their attitude towards God. It is a loyal heart that they had offered willingly. Why would they offer willingly? Because they had the right attitude towards God. And when God called, willingly they will serve. And also, not only the people, King David also rejoice greatly. See, that is the result of our serving the Lord. If we serve Him willingly, there will always be joy in our hearts. So, we see one thing. Joy in a believer is never a product of getting something, but the result of giving yourselves to Him. And knowing that the overflow of His love in our lives, you know, when we always want to receive, we will not have that real joy. But when we are willing to give, the result of it is always joy. And that is why in this whole song, if you read it carefully, there is this idea of joy. Woven throughout the words there. They were singing because they had joy. They had defeated the army. Because they had offered willingly, they served the Lord because they loved the Lord. So the result of that is joy. See, this is a very important thing for us to think about, because we always think service as spending time and suffering and a great burden and so on and so forth. But the ultimate result of serving the Lord willingly and not grudgingly is always joy in our hearts. That is the real joy which the world cannot give us. That is the joy which the Lord has put into our hearts. Unfortunately, not all the people voluntarily responded with a voluntary spirit. These people in Morris didn't do it, and they had no joy. They were cursed. So may this indeed be a reminder to us, I hope, that through the example of Deborah and Barak and these people who are willing, the next time you are called to serve in some way, no matter how insignificant the work is, well, you accept it with a cheerful heart, a loving heart. Remembering that the accomplishment of whatever it is depends not so much on yourself, but on the mighty power of the Lord. All you have to do is to offer yourself willingly, not grudgingly, not thinking it is a burden, but thinking it is a service to the Lord, and He will accomplish it for you. The Lord delights in sharing your time with Him in service. So may this be a thought of us this morning about serving the Lord, that we really need to have our attitude right before Him. and we really need to think about our attitude towards serving Him. May our life be a life of service to Him, and that there is that resulting joy which comes from the Lord. The true joy. It's not the cost or the price we're thinking about. It is the end result, the joy that comes out of it. You know, Paul said in Thessalonica, he said, I spend so much time, labor so much to preach the gospel to you. What is my joy? Is it not that one day when I am before the Lord, that God praised me, and not only that, more importantly, that I see you there in front of God with me? That is Paul's joy. He suffers so much, he spends all his life in serving brothers and sisters and go out and preaching the gospel to the unbelievers, that his only his real joy, he says, is at the end of the day when I am in front of the Lord, I see all you people also are in front of the Lord with me. That is my joy. That is the joy of service. So let us heed this and think about it next time we are asked to serve in some way. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we know that we belong to you because we have been purchased by the price of your life. And so, Lord, we know that we owe this all this to you, to serve you with a loving heart and to serve you throughout our lives. Lord, change our hearts. If we have some grudges in us, if we are unwilling to do this, we're unwilling to pay the cost, let us see the benefit and the joy which comes out of a willing service. Let us just go into it without any hesitation and allow the Lord to work in each and every one of us. Let us be a serving group of your God's children, that whatever we are asked and whenever we are asked, we will come to you and respond to your call with a loving heart. May the Lord bless us and bless his word in your most precious name. Amen.